Welcome to the Richard Rants Show. Richard Rants Show is live on Facebook every Wednesday and subsequently posted to podcast platforms such as Google, Spotify, Radio Public, Apple, and there to dwell forever on the internet. Well, today is a joyful moment in history, for the obvious reason that all of you know, this nightmare of a despicable presidency is finally over. We have a new president, and we have the chance to inaugurate a new era of hope, because we are uniquely situated now to make the positive progressive changes that could only be possible perhaps in a time of great upheaval. As Naomi Klein wrote in her book, The Shock Doctrine, about moments of terrible upheaval bringing opportunity for elements to take advantage, mostly in a negative way, of the disorder and disarray and desperation that is going on at times of strife, where the investors who are characterized as vultures come in, such as when Puerto Rico was in dire straits after hurricane damage, and the vulture investors came in to purchase the debt of Puerto Rico on pennies to the dollar in order to later cash in on squeezing that country dry, squeezing that population using the means of capitalist investors to exploit, which is what capitalism does best, perhaps does the most damage by exploiting. Exploitation seems to be a watchword of capitalism. And not to say that there aren't some advantages. There are some advantages. There's the innovation that can happen. There is the ability of people to pull themselves up through entrepreneurship and such. These are good things, and I'm not saying get rid of them, but the excesses of capitalist exploitation and overuse of the limited resources available on this earth, that's what needs to be counteracted. That's why it needs regulation. But I've said this before. What I am happy about today is that we have a chance to inaugurate a new era of progressive reforms in the United States, and therefore also spread to the world a more compassionate outlook and a more compassionate approach to foreign policy. To have once again, or perhaps for the first time, a foreign policy that actually does promote democratic and humanitarian ideals, a humanitarian democratic ideal. This is my hope, and it's the hope of many progressives that we can push the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, to take the more progressive motions and movements and initiatives to push for Medicare for all, to push to eliminate student debt, to push to get rid of the impunity of murderous police forces, murderous and racist police forces, many of whom took part in the assault on our Capitol building that came much too close to resulting in the murder of our elected representatives. Because it turns out that many in that crowd, many in that mob that had been incited by our now, thank goodness, ex-president Trump, incited directly to attack the seat of our democratic government. And once again, I could go into the objections to the state of our democratic government. I don't think that it's useful to harp on the ways in which our democratic government falls short of the ideals that are expressed in the Constitution and Bill of Rights. It falls short, no doubt, and has always fallen short, but it has moved towards the realization of those ideals in that direction, in the way that at an individual level, we strive for perfection, knowing that we may never achieve it, but we always try to improve. Now, the United States is not an individual, it's a melting pot. It's made up of many different cultural strands joined together, often separate. And it is an incredible experiment in world history. There has never been a society as diverse as the United States, with as many different cultural influences, as many different interest groups, races, religions, sexual orientations, genders, so many different amazing strands. And it is this diversity that brings strength and innovation, a multiplicity of perspectives that can give our country an advantage. I say give our country an advantage and stop myself because at a certain level, this country, the United States, is the most heavily advantaged country in the world, the richest country, the country with the most capital in the world. Despite the fact that it has been in decline in recent decades, that the influence is waning. And all during this time that the United States has promoted its economic hegemony in the world, it has in fact supported anti-democratic movements. And to quote Malcolm X, in a much maligned quote, "The chickens coming home to roost." He made that quote about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. I take it to mean that adventurism overseas, using the CIA and other means of covert action, came back home to the United States to strike our own president at that time, November 23rd, 1963, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Elements of the CIA were involved in that assassination. Chickens coming home to roost. And along those same lines, as the United States has overthrown democratically elected governments, has participated in the overthrow of democratically elected governments around the world, such as in Iran, in South America, in Chile, in multiple instances where U.S. covert action contributed to the overthrow of a democratically elected leader because it was perceived that that leader could harm U.S. economic interests. And that has been the overall thrust of U.S. foreign policy, to defend U.S. economic interests. So if a populist, popular leader that had the interests of their own population in mind, and those interests would be in conflict with the interests of U.S. economic profit-making entities, corporations, then the American government would help to step in and bring in a more corrupt administration that would be friendlier to U.S. economic interests. Well, chickens came home to roost as far as some of those tactics would involve attacking the seat of a foreign government. And here, some of those same tactics came into action against our own government. However, this assault on the Capitol building on January 6th was not initiated by the CIA. It was initiated by our own president, claiming falsely that the election had been stolen and rigged against him. On its face, just like many of the conspiracy claims made by the right wing, QAnon style conspiracy claims, baseless, absurd, many absurd on their face. When elections are rigged, they're rigged in favor of the incumbent. The incumbent is the one that has the power to rig an election. There's an election recently in Nigeria where the incumbent won under questionable election security situation. This is the more normal way that elections are rigged. You see it happen every time that Trump's puppeteer, Vladimir Putin, gets reelected. In Russia, it's just a pageant. It's just a show, an election for show, where the outcome is predetermined because the leader has already set the stage for a victory that is not actually a reflection of democracy. But what we have in the United States is actually a free and fair, a free election that is not fraudulent. I hesitate on the word fair because of voter suppression and gerrymandering, which distorts the fairness of the election, which tends to discriminate against mostly black and brown voters, minorities. That is how the gerrymandered election maps have been drawn. Trump's efforts to undermine the census were a part of that same strategy to win elections by distorting the election map and the electorate that are allowed to vote. Because the Republicans can only win elections by cheating. So believe me, or don't, but it's obvious that if Trump had the power to win the election by cheating, he would have done so. I mean, that's what he does, win at any cost. So if he had the power to distort the election, to rig the election, he would have done it. Certainly, every effort was made by the Republican Party to suppress voting, to sabotage the post office, to take any number of measures to attempt to steal the election, because the Republicans are the ones who steal elections. They're the ones who are doing it, rigging elections. And if anyone can rig an election, it's the incumbent. It's the one in power. And because American elections are actually not fraudulent, are actually real elections, they have flaws, no doubt. Our election has a flawed structure. Even at the presidential level, the absurdity of the Electoral College. One person, one vote is how it should be. Every other election everywhere, even the concept of what an election is you count up the votes and the one with the most votes wins. It's very simple. Well, the Electoral College is a remnant of efforts to accommodate Southern slavery states. I gather that's the main reason we have it. Another purpose is to prop up the political power of states with lower populations. many of which tend to be less diverse than the states with higher populations. It works against our urban populations. But it really should be one person, one vote. But I digress. We actually do have a freer election system than most, and it is not fraudulent. The number of votes that are counted up are actually the number of votes that were cast. That's pretty good. I mean, that's a start for democracy. But we came very close to losing our democracy, imperfect as it is. Trump finally went one step too far and incited a mob to attempt to actually overthrow our democratic government in favor of a fascist coup. And within that mob, using that mob as a cover, were embedded operatives belonging to militias, mostly right-wing white supremacist operatives. And many in the mob were also white-wing supremacists. It's a racist movement. Trumpism is a racist movement linked to white supremacy. It's a fascist movement. So now it's time for us to come in and bring the opposite approach. Rather than being fascist, be humanitarian, be progressive. This fascist threat, this white supremacy threat, which has been well known for some time, even the FBI has already, and the FBI of all things, not what we would say a glimmering defender of free speech or progressivism, certainly not. But even the FBI at a certain level is an analytical agency that does address threats to democracy. The FBI does, in fact, go out and on occasion arrest white supremacist plotters who are attempting to engage in domestic terrorism. And they did acknowledge that white supremacists are the biggest domestic terror threat in the United States. So this has come out of the shadows now in glaring obviousness as a white supremacist infiltrated and led mob invaded the Capitol building with murderous intent as more and more comes out about it. We find that our democratically elected leaders were in fact in mortal danger. And this mob got as far as to pound on the doors of the Senate chambers that close. That's how close they were. If they had breached one more door, we might have seen the murderers of our government. No wonder many legislators, or some legislators, are suffering from PTSD now, from post-traumatic stress, because they came so close to death. Well, near-death experiences can be transformative experiences. And we had a near-death experience for our democracy. And let's make this a transformative time. Let's come back from this with a new perspective of how precious our democracy is, how tenuous it is, just like life, how tenuous it is. And seize the moment as we seize every day. The movements, such as the movements for Black Lives, such as movements to defend our water, to defend our natural resources. And I say our natural resources, they are, because humans do own the earth. And humans will not be able to continue to thrive if the earth does not heal. It is of utmost importance that we stop the overexploitation of the earth's natural resources. That's one of the movements that we're going to have, to defend the earth's natural resources, to protect them, to stop the onslaught of global warming, climate change, climate disaster caused by human activity. Some of the encouraging initial actions of the Biden administration will include canceling the Keystone XL pipeline that so many activists sacrificed to do attempt to stop. And then as soon as the worst president in history now left the office, Donald Trump took office with a stroke of the pen, allowed the Keystone pipeline to be constructed. Now with a stroke of the new pen, of our newly elected, potentially most progressive president in history, the history has yet to be written, comes in with the most progressive major party platform in history, and we have the ability as the people to push this president to do more for us than almost any other previous president. Could be like an FDR, could be like a New Deal, could be like Johnson bringing in the amazing civil rights advances that were never expected from that president based on his previous record. This is the chance. And Biden's got very little to lose. He can make his mark on history. And if we push him to do it,